Well, we were going to talk about Israel tonight, but God had another plan. Hallelujah. I had a vision today. It was interesting. Would you turn to John chapter 3? John chapter 3. The Gospel of John. I'll start at verse 1 so we can get the understanding here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus and a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be caught going to him by day, because he was a part of the Sanhedrin and he was afraid he'd get out, thrown out of the club. He caught going to Jesus, but he believed Jesus, so he's willing to take that risk. So he went to go see him, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus really didn't answer him, but he did answer him. Because the first thing he was talking about is the mother's womb. This is what the question was. Can he be, if the man is old, how can he go back in his mother and come through the womb? And Jesus answered him and said, "Most assuredly I say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, you got to remember that the Word of God is three-dimensional. So you must understand by the Spirit of God and what He is saying. And only the Holy Spirit will bring you understanding to this Word. And in fact, today, when I was in jail, there was a gentleman that was arguing the point about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth. He wasn't really arguing. He had a question. And he'd been telling everybody in the class that y'all need to be baptized in water or you can't get to heaven because of the scripture. I thought of him as an idiot, but I didn't express it. I said, "You're misunderstood." And he says, "Well, I don't believe that." And I said, "Well, you don't understand the scripture. It's three-dimensional. Of course, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet, so how could you understand the scripture?" And it was explained, first of all, because he kept talking about the baptism of water. I said, "God's not talking about the baptism. He's talking about being born again. Not that it's not associated with it." But what he was sharing here, and I had this vision, and I saw this, like, huge, it was like a thin I want to say wall, but it wasn't a wall. It was like a super thin piece of glass that went on for eternity. And it was like just crystal. It was reflective. But on the other side, it just went on forever, and it went up and down forever, and it just went everywhere. And I thought, whoa. And I saw like a little beam of light come out of it, if somebody was throwing a bullet, and it was like a little light come out, and it was shooting, and it was coming out of the side, out of this eternal piece of glass, but you couldn't see what was on the other side. That's all you saw, what was coming out of that glass. And it was coming in, and then it was penetrating, and it was penetrating the earth's atmosphere, and it was coming into the natural realm, and it was coming out of a womb of a woman as a man. And when I saw that, it was like, wow. And I said, "You know, Lord, this is crazy, because I want to ask you where you came from. But it's got to be the most stupid question I could ask you. Because you always were, always was, and always will be." And so, because the Word says that the Spirit goes back to God who gave it. And the flesh goes back to the dust. So I saw this eternal realm that I couldn't see. That's all I could see was, and this light come into the natural realm, penetrate the atmosphere of the earth, go into the earth, and then a woman give birth. I thought, wow. And then I saw the person die and go back home. And I understood in other words, Jesus was answering Nicodemus's question, but he was also telling him another arena. So what he was saying, he said, yes, the only way that you can enter the kingdom of God and see the kingdom of God is you must go through the process of coming into the natural realm, then dying, and then going to the spirit realm. But there's another arena here that he was also talking about, because, again, we don't remember our identity when we were with the Lord, but we come into the natural realm. All of our identity is stripped from us when we're conceived. And then while we're in the natural realm, people are waiting to die to either go back home or go to the spirit realm. But in the other dimension, it's talking about that we must be born of water. In other words, washed by the blood of Christ when you accept Jesus as Savior, which is the baptism of water in representation symbolically. But you don't, if you've never been baptized in water, it doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. It's symbolic to the arena of repentance. And as you repent, you get washed by the blood. Born of water, washed by the blood. And then born again by Spirit, where you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit gives you another identity. There's your new identity. That's where you are born again, with a new identity. And in that, so many people will never have that new identity until the day they die. They've been trying to struggle and fight for that new identity, but never achieving it. Not saying that they don't know the word, not saying that they're not practicing the religious rituals, not saying that they're not bad, or they're not good people or anything, but there's that area where so many people are waiting to die to be born again. And when I saw that vision, it blew my mind, because the Bible talks about denying yourself or dying twice dead. And in that twice dead, in other words, we die, you won't have to die again if you already died yourself now. Why wait to die to be born again when you can get baptized in the Holy Spirit and get born again? And in this, as I was discussing this with the Lord, and I mean, everything around me just kind of changed with the reality of what just occurred. Then there's the area of, and we've been talking about getting your new identity and maintaining your new identity. And one of the things he shared with me is about maturing your new identity. And it's called the journey of obedience. Would you turn to Romans chapter 1? The journey of obedience. The journey of obedience. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 1, is everybody there? Let's read it together, please. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for what? for obedience to the faith. Say obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved God, called to be of saints. Now, obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith, of course, we know that faith is associated with believe, follow, but it's also associated with spiritual sight, vision, things pertaining to kingdom life, obedience to things pertaining to kingdom life, obedience to Christ, the person, obedience to the faith. Is obedience to Christ, the person, and things pertaining to kingdom life. Obedience to the faith, the journey of obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, oh yes. Obedience chapter 5. Hebrew. My daughter gave a joke. She shared with me that this husband and wife just got married, newlyweds, and the husband gets up in the morning and says, "Okay, honey, you gonna make my breakfast? Breakfast, thank you. Or no, you get and bring me some coffee." She says, "Wait a minute. We just got together, man. It's our honeymoon. Come on. Aren't you going to bring me my coffee?" He says, "Well," she goes, "you know, it's biblical." He said, "What do you mean it's biblical?" He said, "Yeah, Hebrew." Hallelujah. Hebrews. Thank you, dear. Hebrews. So see, it's biblical that the husband should bring his wife coffee in the morning. My wife likes that. Hebrews. See, it's the way it is, man. Sorry. chapter 5 and verse 5 in Hebrews. Glory. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears, to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he what? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Hello. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know why people still suffer the same thing? Because they ain't learned it. I mean, how many times you want to go around that stinking mountain? Get it. Get out of there. Learn from it. Don't go back to it. So he learned obedience. Say, freedom is learned. Amen. So you must learn obedience to be free. By the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? All who obey him. All who obey him. Would you mind saying that with me, please? All who obey him. Hello. Well, that blows the theology of once saved, always saved, doesn't it? Learn obedience. Yes. By the things that we suffered. Salvation to all who obey him. Remember, learned obedience is the journey to maintain your new identity. It is the maturing of your new identity. Is everybody with me? It is the maturing of your new identity. You know, so many people walk around in the world still want to know who they are, why they're here, and where they're going. There's a lot of believers thinking that way too. And Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy your identity. And Jeremiah 7. So we want to mature this obedience. Mature this new identity by the journey of obedience. Is everybody with me? Jeremiah chapter 7. 7:22. It says, I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my what? Obey my what? My voice. And I will be your God. Oh. Obey my voice and I will be your God. In other words, by obeying his voice, he will be your Lord. It's amazing how many people say Jesus is my Lord and Savior when he isn't their Lord yet. He might be their Savior, but he's not their Lord yet, because Lord comes with obedience. That means he has full authority of your life. And I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be what? Well with you. It says, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their own evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. So by obeying, it will be well with us, won't it? It will be well. But many people, so many times, are going by how they feel, and they begin to listen to the dictates of their hearts, and they go backwards instead of, listen, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. Even though some people think they're going forward, but in true reality, they're going backward, because they're still listening to the dictates of their hearts. See, one of the things people hate doing is giving up control. If you're not an individual that's not willing to give up control, you're going backwards. Hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 28. So he said it would be well with you if you obey. In Deuteronomy 28, the journey of obedience is the maturing of your identity. Deuteronomy 28, in verse 15. Oh, let's start at 13. Would you read it with me? And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. That means we can come out of butt ministry. That's the butt. Be loosed. Butt. We are the head, not the tail. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any one of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these what? Curses will come upon you and overtake you. You know, the Bible says he who sows to the flesh reaps what? Corruption. That's a curse. And he who sows to the spirit reaps what? Life. Those are called self-imposed curses by what you sow. Self-imposed curses. And he says, these curses will overtake you. Please understand, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. And what does it bring? Bondage. God's greatest weapon is the Christ. And his power is his presence and truth. And you know what it brings? Freedom. Brings freedom. But it's learned, isn't it? See, you and I were born in bondage with that old identity of bondage, with the old ways of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. All of that was the old identity, and it was a bondage. But we are born again in Christ in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a new identity, where the old is being removed and the new is taking its place. Hello. Go to James chapter 4. The journey of obedience. James 4 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? But it says, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, the first level of obedience, the first level is called submission. The first level of obedience is submission. Why? To submit to the ways of God. In other words, transforming the new idea or your new identity into a reality. You're transforming your new identity into a reality by submitting to God in everything. Submission is the number one, the first level of obedience is submission. Submission. The Bible says, submit to your elders. Submit to those who oversee you. Submit. Submit to authority. Submit. Submit to the ways of God. And it's transforming the new identity into a reality to you as you submit. To submit is to resist rebellion. To submit is to resist rebellion, which is witchcraft. Because rebellion, witchcraft is behind it all. So everybody got it. So if you're not submitting, that means you're associated with witchcraft and don't even know it. You think the devil's going to come up to you and say, hi, I'm going to play a little witchcraft on you today? Hi, my name's Deception. I'm going to knock on your door and ask that I may come in. No, he doesn't ask. He gets you to sow in the flesh. He gets you to do rebellion. Then he accesses you, and he's got a legal right to enter you. You mean as a believer I can have a demon? You betcha. Hello. Submit to God and resist the devil. In other words, you're going to submit to the ordinances of the Lord by prayer, warfare, his word, so forth. You're going to submit. You know, every time you cry out for help, you know what God does? He sends you somewhere to get help. Lord, help me! I mean, you want him to come and help you, but you'd rather have him do it your way. Man, I want the help my way. Can't you like just come and take me and do something with me? Yes, I can. I'm going to put you on a bus. I'm going to put you on a plane. I'm going to put you, and I'm going to send you to the place that I've ordained to fix you up.
But no, I don't want to do it that way.
It's like Nahum, who had leprosy, a warrior. And he went to go see Elijah. And he says, hold on a second. Goes knocking on the door. Well, the prophet didn't come out. He sent his servant. He said, wait a minute, man. I'm expecting him to come out, wave over me, and I'm going to get healed. He was all upset and was going to leave. And his servant said, hold on a second. Give God a break. So the word came to him and said, listen, go dip 7 times in that cold Jordan. Let's get rid of the butt ministry. So he went and dipped 7 times and God healed him because of obedience. Well, why wouldn't he send me to a spring, nice water running, someplace beautiful? No, you got to send me to the cold Jordan. Because he's going to do it his way or it's the highway. And that's about learning obedience. How many times do we have to keep going over and over and over stuff till we finally submit? How many times are we going to let the devil come and steal, kill, and destroy our life until we finally submit to everything that he has for us? That's what it's all about. It's a journey of obedience. That's what our walk is. That's where the identifying of that new identity becomes a reality. The more you are submissive, the more you are obedient in this journey, the more reality comes of who you are. The less submissive you are, the more you try to make who you are when you can't. You can't do it. You can't be free by yourself. You can have every good intention. I'm telling you, you can have a mile list of good intentions, and you will not be free until you learn obedience. Philemon. Philemon. You haven't been there in a while, have you? Well, I'll tell you right where it's at. It's right before Hebrew. I hope. Yep. But before you go there, let's go to 1 Peter 5. Now you know where Philemon is. Aren't you glad we're not religious? 1 Peter chapter 5. Submit and resist. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, what does it say? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9. Resist him steadfast what? In the faith. That's obedience to faith. Has everybody got it? That's obedience to faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are only experienced by you. You're the only one in the whole universe that's experiencing this. No, you're not. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered to learn a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Settle you into your new identity. So it becomes a reality to you. So you're no longer playing games, touching unclean things, saying things, doing things, and going places. No longer playing the game. Well, I want to be a Christian. No, I am a Christian. Well, you know who you are. Hello. Now, would you mind going to Philemon? Do you remember where he is? You know, I love the anointing. I love God's presence. I can't live without him. Come on, lift your hands up and get another drink. Yes. Fill us and kill us, Lord. Help us die to ourselves. That you may be glorified in everything. Everything. Verse 20, please. Yes, brother. Let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience. Having what? confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. So he's saying, listen, I have confidence in your obedience. In other words, I trust your obedience. That you're going to pray for me, and that your prayers are going to be heard, and it's going to make way for me to see you. Has everybody got that? The second level of obedience is trust. It's trust. It's to trust God and see it through, complete what he's asked you to do. Trusting God and seeing it through, complete that he's asked you to do. Confidence in your obedience. Yes. It's the second level of obedience is trust. What was the first level of obedience? Submit. Proverbs 3. What's it say? Come on now. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the what? Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So trust in the Lord. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Meaning, submit it to God. Let loose of your control. Submit. Trust. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The maturing of your new identity. It's a journey of obedience. Well, I just don't feel like it. Well, too bad. Then stay a baby your whole life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ and being ready to punish. In other words, take dominion. When what? When all of your obedience is fulfilled. So you're going to punish disobedience, but there's no way you're going to have dominion over it unless your obedience is fulfilled. If you're not obedient, if you're not submissive, if you're not trusting, how can you have dominion over disobedience? You can't. Hello? If God keeps telling you, quit going to that bar and you won't drink. Hello? If he tells you, quit watching that and you won't fornicate. If he tells you, well, come on. How do you expect to have dominion over something when you're not obedient to what he's told you to do? You can't. You'll be submissive to disobedience. See, when your obedience is fulfilled is when you have dominion over it. You don't get dominion over before it. You get dominion over when you're obedient. Hello? People, I just don't get it, man. I never have. I keep going. Well, man, just get obedient. Submit. Trust. Die. Hallelujah. Yourself. Cast down. Punish. Disobedience. When your obedience is complete, you can't overcome your obedience or disobedience until your obedience is complete. What he's asked you to do. I can't tell you how many people come to counsel. Man, I'm still struggling, Pastor. Well, did you do this? Well, no. What do you want? So what you're doing is you're disobedient to what the Spirit is asking you to do. Well, I can't stop doing it. Well, throw it out. What's causing you to stumble? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. The journey of obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, there would be less sacrificing if there was more obedience. Think about it. Hello? You wouldn't have to go through all the garbage you go through and we go through if we were just obedient. Why do you want to do it your way? Verse 17. Is everybody there? 38:17. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon, of Babylon's princes, then your souls shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your houses shall live." Now you got to understand that Babylon had taken them captive, and the Lord told Jeremiah what to do. He was trying to rescue his people. In verse 18, he says, "But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then the city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand." And he goes on to tell them that you'll lose your wives and everything else, and your families and your children. You're all going to die. So the third level of obedience is surrender. See, they were concerned about saving their life instead of surrendering their life into the hands of God. So many times we're still fighting for the old ID because we really don't want to surrender that. And we say we surrender. I surrender. I mean, people say, I surrender all, Lord. Yeah, just let me have this. I surrender it all, but I just, you know, then they go back into the butt ministry and they're no longer the head, they're the tail. The third level of obedience is surrender of your life and stop fighting for the old identity. Get a new identity and maintain it and let it mature by the journey of obedience. Psalm 40. You know that song we sang tonight? What was the last part? He says, surrender! Everybody's lifting their hands and want to get filled with the Spirit. And they're saying, surrender! Psalm 40 and verse 1. Would you read it together with me? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Great! What did you do? You waited. Hallelujah. And you know what he did? He came and he told you what to do. And he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. The fourth level of obedience is to wait on the Lord. He doesn't move on your time. And many times when he gets ready to move, people are out of position because they've already moved without him. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing but in all things prayer and supplication. And God's trying to get some, it's like chasing a mouse around the house. It's hard to catch. You got to loose your dog on it. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. We'd loose my dog on that mouse, we'd be chasing the dog. They'd both be moonwalking. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Isn't that something? He's not sleeping. You don't need to wake him up. He sees it all. There's nothing hidden from him. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Ooh, would you ever feel weak? Well, if you're in position, it gives you power. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this right before my tennis game. The fourth level of obedience is to wait on the Lord. He will renew. Now, when he says renew your strength, he's going to renew your identification. He's going to renew your identity as you wait on the Lord. Because so many times people grow weary. But then they try to fix it themselves. Why? And they even get more weary. But when you wait on the Lord, I get people tell me, what are you going to do about this? I don't know, but I will. I might not know today, but when I know I will, then I'll do something about it. And if I don't know, God will tell somebody else. If he don't want to tell me, he's going to tell somebody else about it. And they'll tell me. So however he wants to do it, I'm cool. We're all part of the same family. Psalm 37. In verse 27. So as you wait on the Lord, you get to renew your ID. You got to renew it because it expires, you know. We go into the jail. They don't tell you about your, there's no tag, no nothing. You go into the jail and they say your ID's expired. Well, hello, tell me about it. And nobody knows. You never get notified. You don't know nothing. You just show up, they tell you your ID's expired. Then you got to wait a month to get back in. Then you got to wait. Which is the fourth level of obedience. Psalm 37:27. Depart from what? Evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slip or slide. The fifth level of obedience is to depart from evil, or you will fall to the old ID ways. Bad company corrupts good habits. I mean, you got to remember, it says, depart from evil. Why? Because evil, all right, is present. That means presence. Now, the presence of evil, now get this, the presence of evil is sin. So if the presence of evil is sin, departing from evil means you're going to remove yourself from that presence of evil, which is sin, so you don't fall or come in agreement with it. That is the fifth level of obedience, is to depart from evil. Has everybody got it? Go to Ezekiel 18. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? See, our life as believers is a journey. It is a journey of obedience. That's what it's about. By this obedience, it will cause us to stay in the Spirit, where God can get things to us. Ezekiel 18 and verse 29. Let's read it together. Yet the house of Israel says, "The Lord, the way of the Lord is not fair." Oh, house of true ministries. He says, "Is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all of your transgressions so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which we have committed and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit and renew your new ID. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. In other words, repent. And that's associated with departing from evil. Ephesians 4, verse 8. The journey of obedience, the maturing of your new identity. I'll make that Ephesians 5. Yes, Ephesians 5, please. And verse 8, would you read it with me? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Do what now? At your sixth level of obedience is to expose evil. Expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So the sixth level of obedience is to what? Expose evil. Expose evil. Be grateful for the truth. You always maintain an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful that you've been rescued from darkness. It says you were once darkness. Be grateful that you haven't died and gone to hell. Be grateful that he's put you in a place where truth is. Be grateful for all the things that he's done for you. Never lose sight. The moment you lose sight of being grateful, you have opened yourself up to the enemy. Because if you're a grumbler and a complainer, you ain't grateful. Never lose sight where you came from. I still haven't. It's been 17 years. I still remember crying, looking out my front window, wondering what it was like to be normal instead of an addict or an alcoholic. I didn't know what it was like. I cried for help for years. Tried to fix it my own. Wouldn't work. Finally, I called on the deliverer and the healer, and I waited patiently. You know, my only way out was death. I didn't know I could die to self. I thought I had to kill myself. Then he came, and he showed me, and he introduced me to the mentor and the teacher, the comforter, and taught me how to die to myself. And it's all about the journey of obedience, which will bring maturity to your new identity. And I maintain a grateful attitude. When things get tough, I give thanks. Because I know that I was in a worse condition. And I know somebody else is in worse condition than me. And what do I got to grumble about? When I'm lacking in things, I give thanks. I don't try to go out to force it. I give thanks. Because if I grumble and complain, I'm going to open myself up to the enemy. And he's going to come and steal even more. But see, these are the basic principles of Christianity. We must learn obedience in every area. Listen, the Bible says, make no place for the devil, or he'll steal, kill, and destroy your identity of who you are. And you'll become a humanite. He'll steal your eternal light. James chapter 1. The seventh level of obedience. James chapter 1. In verse 2. Now this must be very completely comprehensible. In other words, get it. My brethren, count it all grumbling and complaining? Miserable. Blaming everybody else for your stuff. Well, if he wouldn't do this and or she wouldn't do that, I wouldn't be like that. No. If you wouldn't open yourself to the voice of the stranger, you wouldn't have this problem. If we wouldn't come in agreement with the voice of the enemy, you wouldn't have this problem. If you maintained the journey of obedience, you'd overcome. But he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I want you to understand it. It didn't say if. Please get it. It did not say if you fall into a various trial. It says when you fall into a various trial. Because there's no one in this room that's not going to escape a various trial. Welcome to the earth. Knowing that the testing of your obedience to the faith produces patience, endurance. But let patience and endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing, so you stop your grumbling. So, the seventh level of obedience is to count it all joy. Joy, 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 joy. For the test of obedience to the faith, the maturing of your new identity. Count it all joy. Why can't I count it all joy? I'm a wreck. Praise God, there's somebody in worse condition than you. Count it all joy. Why? Because God says he can do the impossible. He can do the what? Impossible. That's why he makes men look like idiots. He can do the impossible. All things are possible to those who believe. And that word believe means to follow. You can't just sit there, oh God, I believe, now all things are possible. Ugh. Well, where are you? Believe means to follow. Oh, you mean I have to do something? Yes. Obey. But, no. No but ministry. You're the head, not the tail. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We'll close here. Let's read it. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who what? Love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So all things can work to the good. But there's something you must do. Obey. The journey of obedience is a maturing of your new identity. Again, the first level is submission. The second level is trust. The third level is surrender. The fourth level is to wait. The fifth level is to depart from evil. The sixth level is to expose evil. The seventh level is to counter all joy. Go for it. What do you got to lose? Except for your old identity. Hallelujah. Amen? Everybody got it? We'll see. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we just thank you. And we call it all a joy. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you and thank you. Now, Lord, let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. I apply the blood of the Lamb on every seed that's been imparted in here through your word. That it will mature and grow, bear fruit, and mature that fruit. And that our new identity will be mature. Lord, I pray tonight that deliverance and freedom, healing of sickness and disease to each and every one, and conviction would be established to turn our hearts away from evil, to bring freedom and severance of self and the ability to deny self, so that we may walk the journey of obedience, maturing our new identity for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give me a good God bless them.